From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, Christian Research Journal, Hank, or the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to our callers, which we'll do in just a moment, I want to say just a couple of words about our radio offer for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. We have memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage. It is a flip chart, a 4x6 flip chart, available for your support of the ministry this month. And since we've been talking about memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage, I have gotten a firestorm of comments and even criticisms, some of them coming from Mormons themselves. And a lot of them have been given in a very sweet way, I might add. For example, a letter from Brad, who says, "First, I love your radio broadcast, the Bible Answer Man, so thank you for that. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I was hurt by your comments in your most recent broadcast and on your website. Your statements regarding our faith are either not true or taken out of context to the point that they are sensationalized." That, by the way, is a very strong charge. Not true or sensationalized. If, in fact, we were communicating that which was not true or sensationalizing information, that would indeed be an egregious error. Brad goes on to say, "I have faith in Jesus just as you do." And let me pause for a moment to say, I have no doubt that he has faith in Jesus. The point is that he has the wrong Jesus. He has another Jesus. He has another gospel. And that point cannot be missed as we talk about Mormonism this month. And as you look at the deviations of Mormonism and of their founder, Joseph Smith, who said that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and was the keystone to their religion. That was his view. That was what he held to. Not only that, but he believed that all the Christian creeds were wrong and all the Christian professors were corrupt and all their doctrines an abomination, and that he had been called not to reform but to restore a church that had disappeared from the face of the earth. So Joseph Smith had some very strong words about Christianity when he proposed his alternate view of spirituality, the view that Jesus Christ was conceived by sexual intercourse between God and the Virgin Mary, the view that the Bible is filled with errors and then superseded by the Book of Mormon in the words of all Mormon prophets, the view that God was once human like we are, dwelling on earth, and became God through faith and good works, just as we can do ourselves. Brad goes on and writes, "I believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and yes, I also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. I will continue to listen to your insightful broadcast, but I don't understand how the spirit of denigration of one's faith can so easily exist on your show." And let me again point out, this is not a denigration of faith. What it is exposing that faith for what it is. It is a faith in something that is not faithful. Indeed, if you open the Book of Mormon, the first words you will encounter are these. "The Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible. It is a record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas and contains, as does the Bible, the fullness of the everlasting gospel. The Book of Mormon, however, is the record of two great civilizations. The first, Jaredites, left the Tower of Babel and immigrated to the Americas 2,200 years before Jesus Christ. The second migrated from Jerusalem around 600 BC and divided into two great nations, Nephites and Lamanites. The Lamanites were, according to the Book of Mormon, white and exceedingly fair and delightsome. However, due to sin, the Lord God did cause a skin of blackness to come along upon them. The lone Nephite's survival in the final battle, according to the Book of Mormon, with their Lamanite enemies, was a mighty military commander named Moroni, and along with his father Mormon, Moroni inscribed what Joseph Smith called the most correct of any book on earth in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics and then buried it in the hill Cumorah. And after being resurrected as an angel, Moroni appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith and instructed him relative to the ancient record and its destined translation into the English language. Now, here's the problem. The Book of Mormon has been utterly devastated by the facts. Anthropology demonstrates conclusively that the Jaredites, the Lamanites, and the Nephites were little more than the figment of Joseph Smith's fertile imagination. Not only that, but the places mentioned in the Book of Mormon are mythological, which is to say there's no such thing as the land of Moron, north of the Great Sea of Desolation. So the point here is that Brad has placed his faith in something that is faithless. The Book of Mormon is not the most correct of any book on earth, and it should not be the keystone to any religion. Anthropology and archaeology demonstrates it to be false. We should not place our faith in a false God, a false Jesus, and a false revelation. And therefore, when I point this out, there's no sensationalism. We're doing what we do because truth matters. If you have a different Jesus and a different gospel, you have a Jesus and a gospel that cannot save. It is the very reason that we have prepared memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage. It is to reach Mormons. And it's also to equip Christians to know what they believe and why so that they can use the deviations of Mormonism as springboards or opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only the real Jesus, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, can bring to the human heart. Not the Mormon Jesus, the one who's the spirit brother of Lucifer, but the creator of all things. So it really makes a difference what you believe and why you believe what you believe, and certainly makes a difference who you believe. The Mormon Jesus is no Jesus at all. It is a false Jesus. The real Jesus is the one who genuinely can save you, not based on what you do, but based on his righteousness. He's the only one that can bridge the divide between our sin and the holiness of God. Again, the Mormon Mirage is available to our constituency, those listening in, including Brad, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can access it online at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you pick up the telephone and speak to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let us go right to the phone lines. First up, I want to talk to Sylvia in Miami, Florida. She's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. I have a question for you.
Yes.
I'm a first-time caller. And the question is, what do you think of the role of the prophetic voice in today's modern times? In other words, there's lots of people who proclaim to be prophets and women prophetesses. What is the role of that? Is that something that God is speaking to his people in today's modern society?
No, and this is the problem not only within Mormonism, but within false deviations in the Christian church itself, where modern-day prophets believe that they're giving The people of God knew revelations just as Joseph Smith gave his people or his followers a new revelation. The truth is we've already received the revelation, and that revelation is what we must test all things by and then hold fast to that which is good. So the ultimate revelation is the Word of God. It is everything necessary for faith and practice, and it is the final court of arbitration by which we test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Unlike the Book of Mormon, the Bible has been demonstrated to be absolutely, precisely accurate with its people, its places, and its particulars. And so we can trust the Word of God. That's precisely what I've pointed out in my book, Has God Spoken, which is now available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God. God has spoken, and that he has spoken through the Bible, but hasn't spoken through the Book of Mormon, and certainly hasn't spoken through modern-day apostles and prophets who, in some cases now in the Christian church, are calling themselves super-apostles, whose revelations and testimonies will supersede anything that a biblical prophet or apostle gave. In fact, some of them blatantly say that if Moses or Paul were here today, they'd stand in line to get their autographs. This simply is an abomination and a blasphemy, and we shouldn't be listening to prophets like that.
So if a prophet or were to say, I have a personal word for you, and they speak it over the congregation, let's say it's me, and part of it is true or a portion of it is true and it resonates, where you're saying that that is a false divination of a spirit of something that is other than from God?
Well, first of all, I'm saying something a little differently. I'm saying that there's no such thing as a prophet who can foretell the future today or give us new revelation. I'm not saying that there is no such thing as a prophetic voice in the church in the sense that that individual is able to more rightly expound the word of truth, what God has already given to us. Nor am I saying that people cannot prophesy today in the sense of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Certainly we can, on the basis of the word of God, strengthen people, edify people, exhort people, encourage people, and even equip people. And that is a prophetic role. So there are prophets in the sense of forthtelling, but not prophets in the sense of foretelling the future or giving new revelation or revelations that exceed the revelation already given to us in the infallible Word of God.
I see. I understand. Thank you very much, and I love your show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Steve in Oklahoma. Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Is this Hank?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you just talk a little bit about, clarify a little bit for me that, you know, I know you talked about believers that once they die, that absent with the body is present with the Lord and are awaiting, the second coming of Christ when the dead in Christ shall rise. But would you talk a little bit about that? And then also, unbelievers, are they automatically, when they die, are they automatically judged then, or are they waiting the return of Christ and the second coming?
Yeah.
And then I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Sure. Yeah. Here's what's going on. We believe as Christians, on the basis of the Bible, that there's life after life after life. There's life after life in the sense that when a believer dies, they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. In other words, the non-physical aspect of their humanity is in relationship to God. There's life after life after life in that there is a time when Jesus Christ will appear again and put all things to right, and then the soul will return to the body, and the body will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and we will live as human beings in a renewed universe and forever explore the glory and greatness of the one who saved us by his grace. As far as what happens to those who die outside of Christ, Jesus gives us a picture of that in Luke chapter 16. There's a rich man who dies. There's also a beggar laying by his gate who dies. the beggar ends up in Abraham's bosom or paradise, which means that he ends up in relationship with God. The rich man who wanted no part of God in this life, he ends up in torment. But in both cases, Lazarus and the rich man are awaiting that which will happen when Jesus Christ returns to put all things to right, where there is a judgment that takes place, a judgment of rewards and a judgment of punishment in hell. I've laid this out very clearly in a book called Resurrection, and that deals with one of the great apologetic issues, and that is, how do you know that Jesus Christ is God, and what happens to Christians and unbelievers after they die? Again, the book Resurrection, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
Pornography is a powerful force that has become increasingly widespread in Western culture since the advent of the Internet. Perhaps the appeal of pornography to so many is because it activates a part of our brain that is specifically organized to look for sexual cues. But what if pornography merely hijacks a part of our nature that is intended for something better? In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, Dr. William M. Struthers takes an in-depth look at not only the destructive consequences for those who view pornographic material, but also the neurobiological aspects of its allure, addictive properties, and long-lasting effects. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity, the memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
At the Christian Research Institute, we exist to equip you to fully understand your faith so you can defend it against the many voices of skepticism and doubt so prevalent in today's world. But we hope you know that only God's provision through friends like you makes this possible. We're completely listener-supported, so every life-changing resource is a gift from someone like you. One of those resources we'd like to send you is Hank Hanegraaff's latest flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. In an easy-to-remember format, Hank exposes the radical differences between the teachings of Mormonism and essential Christian doctrine. To receive your copy of the Mormon Mirage flip chart and help support the work of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One quick comment, then right back to our callers. A lot of people are misunderstanding my comments about Mitt Romney, though I've made it very clear that I'm not talking about his politics. I'm talking about his belief system. And it is a belief system that he has personally expressed and publicly communicated. I think it's only fair that people rightly communicate what he has said. And I think it's unfair for Mormons to distort what he has said. We need to be fair and true and just and not distort the words of Mitt Romney, who said that Joseph Smith's millennial beliefs about Jesus Christ are correct, that he will reign in Independence, Missouri. In fact, Mitt Romney said this, is a direct quote, "Throughout the Bible, Christ appears in Jerusalem, splits the Mount of Olives to stop the war that's coming to kill all the Jews. Our church believes that. We also believe that over the 1,000 years that follows the millennium, he will reign from two places, that the law will come forth from one place in Missouri, and the other will be in Jerusalem." Romney's explicit affirmation of Mormon eschatology, from my perspective, is disturbing in light of another prophecy by Joseph Smith that one day the U.S. Constitution will be hanging by a thread only to be saved by the elders of the LDS Church. Again, this is not about his politics. From my perspective, this is about his persuasions. This is what he believes. This is what he freely, openly communicates in public. And therefore, we can point out where this does not correspond to the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. It is not in concert with biblical teaching. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Sean in Topeka, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Man, I love your program. I've been listening to your program now for a little over a year, and I thank you for your program. You've really brought me a long ways. I appreciate that. Now, my question is that I was raised in a Christian atmosphere, but I turned away for a while from God. And then as I was getting back, I got into the Mormon. I didn't know much about the Mormons at the time. I did get into the church. I was baptized a Mormon, but I do not go to the Mormon church anymore because of their beliefs. Now, my question is do I need to get rebaptized because I was baptized as a Mormon? When I was baptized as through the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But now that I've been, left the Mormon church, I need to know, do I need to get rebaptized into a Christian church?
Well, yeah, you need to be baptized in the name of the real Jesus. And this is the point. A Mormon can baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, although they're not Trinitarian. But if they did, they'd still be talking about a different Jesus and a different gospel, a Jesus that cannot save. And I think that's what's important. And I refer specifically to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And then says Paul, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But Paul, on the other hand, is warning people night and day with tears. Why? Because he cares about their eternal destination. So the short answer to your question would be, if you have been baptized in the name of a false Jesus and you come to faith in Christ, recognizing that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, yes, you want to be baptized in obedience to receiving that Jesus, not the Jesus of Mormonism, because that's a false Jesus. So, yes, if you come to faith in Christ, you want to be baptized, because baptism symbolizes entrance into a body of believers. So when you become a Christian, you're not a Lone Ranger Christian. You're born into the body of Christ, and baptism is a sign and a seal that you've been buried to your old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power.
Okay, now I have another quick question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, quickly.
How do I find a faith-based church here in Topeka? Because every church that I've been gone, that I have gone to after I left the Mormon church, they always say, well, this religion's wrong, that religion's wrong, this religion's going to go to hell because of this, and this religion is the wrong. So how do I find a faith-based, Bible-believing church in Topeka, Kansas?
Yeah, well, there are exactly what you describe, faith-based, Bible-believing churches in Topeka, Kansas. We can help you with that off the air, but here's the point from my perspective. Remember that all believers stand shoulder to shoulder with one another when it comes to essential Christian doctrine, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. However, there are secondary issues that divide believers, not in terms of believers from believers in the ultimate sense, but they're divided in the sense of things that they can debate vigorously, but ultimately that these things do not separate them as believers. So I've been talking on the show about the meaning of the millennium or the timing of the tribulation. Ultimately, these are things we can debate vigorously and not divide over in the ultimate sense, but they're important issues, but yet we can stand together on those essentials of the historic Christian faith, which form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. So again, hang on. We'll get some information out to you in terms of a specific body of believers that might be helpful to you in Topeka, Kansas. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jim. He's listening in Montana. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi. Say, I got a tell you, I do listen in once in a while, and I am a, I guess what people would call a convert to the LDS Church, only because I spent years, whether it was travel, I retired from the military, whether it was I grew up in a Christian home, or I, spent my time overseas, and the time I was in the military, I visited and worshipped with different people in different churches, and the fact is, I believe all the good stuff that most Orthodox fundamental Christians say they believe, but I do believe that there is more and that there are some blanks to be filled in. One of the things that troubles me is I consider myself, honestly, probably one of the best read, researched Latter-day Saints that there is. I've got a phenomenal library and of things that aren't even in print anymore, and, you know, the Journal's Discourses, which
yes,
is a huge volume, 30 volumes of records of things that were discussed by all the Latter-day prophets from Joseph Smith on down. And, you know, things like this I keep hearing that God the Father had sexual relations with Mary, and that's absolutely not true. There is nothing in the LDS doctrine that states that. We believe that she was overshadowed, you know, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and in some, supernatural way is the right way to put it, but in a spiritual way, she was able to conceive thus she was able to maintain the fact that she was a virgin. He was born of a virgin birth. We do not believe that she was had sexual relations with God the Father before Jesus Christ was born. And, you know, we believe that Jesus Christ is literally the Son of God. He's the first begotten of the Father, the only begotten in the flesh, and that he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. We believe that he's the only name under heaven by which a man can be saved. We believe that he's our mediator. The only way that a person gets to the Father is through the Son. You know, they're just crucial things like that to me that I know what we believe, and I hear people distorting these things. The fact is, people are always looking for archaeological or historical things, and I have literally volumes and volumes of books of the research that's been conducted not only by the church but other independent archaeologists and historians all over South America that definitely documents things that are related to...
So you believe that there's a land of Moron north of the Great Sea of Desolation?
You know, I believe that there's a lot of places that we can't particularly point a finger and put a finger on that we have through the descriptions, but it's one of those things that we've said before. If a person's going to be a Latter-day Saint, first of all, you have to believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet. And if you believe he was a prophet, then you got to believe that, you know, the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. You can't take one without the other.
Right, so and you have to also believe what he said when he said that all existing churches were wrong, all their creeds were an abomination, and all their professors were corrupt. But, you know, here's the problem that I have. I think you need, as a Mormon, to be fair to your own scholarship. Bruce McConkie, as you will recognize as a well-read Mormon,
sure,
is a real hero of the Mormon faith. And Bruce McConkie was very clear in communicating what we say Mormons believe with respect to how Jesus Christ was conceived. And again, I think you have to be fair to your own leaders. I don't think it's fair to distort what they say. Bruce McConkie, for example, made very clear that, quote, our Lord was conceived in heaven by Heavenly Mother and came in flesh as the result of Heavenly Father having sex with the Virgin Mary. And then he went on to say, Christ was begotten by an immortal Father in the same way that mortal men are begotten by mortal fathers. As far as Jesus Christ is concerned, the idea, therefore, becomes that Jesus Christ is not the Jesus Christ described in the Bible, the one who spoke in the universe, leapt into existence, but rather he is a different Jesus. He is a Jesus who ends up being the spirit brother of Lucifer.
Okay, first of all, I got it. There's a couple of things that you were talking about. That first of all, if a person doesn't understand the context of which they were said and understand what was being said, that it will sound like it's all mixed up. But first of all, when he's talking about being conceived of a Heavenly Father and a Heavenly Mother, this leads to a discussion where we believe in a pre-existence.
Yes,
and
that's
most
right.
Other people don't.
Yes.
So in those terms, yes, we do believe that every single person that has come to the earth or that will yet come to the earth is literally a begotten spirit, a child of God.
Right. No, I understand that. And that's not the point that I'm making, although it is a point that I would make. The point I'm making is what we have said, according to your own Mormon leaders, is true with respect to how Jesus was conceived by the Father and the Virgin Mary. And again, I was quoting Mormon sources, authoritative Mormon sources, and I think it's important to be fair to those authoritative Mormon sources. I'll be right back.
Most of us know the Lord's Prayer by heart, but do we really grasp the significance of a dialogue with God? When we understand this privilege, prayer will no longer be a mere duty or discipline. It will become a delight. The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God by Hank Hanegraaff, is the perfect tool to enrich your prayer life and put you on the road to experiencing intimacy with God like never before. Order The Prayer of Jesus in either softcover, audio CD, or as an MP3 download from our website at equip.org.
or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The issue of women in Islam has been a hot topic in the press lately. Yet with all of the media coverage, the theological doctrines that demean women in Islam have hardly been addressed. Mary Jo Sharp's article, Did Muhammad Believe in Women's Rights?, sheds light on the profound differences between women in Islam and women in Christianity. Other topics in the Christian Research Journal include Dr. Jonathan Witt's article, Darwin vs. Beauty, Explaining Away the Butterfly, Lewis Marcos's C.S. Lewis on Hell, Evaluating Exactly What Lewis Did and Did Not Believe, a review of Nancy Piercy's Saving Leonardo, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity, The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth in love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken?, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred Scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in response to Jim, who was the Mormon who called just before the break, he's not hanging on any longer, so I want to respond further with respect to the Jesus of Mormonism, because according to official Mormon teaching, Jesus Christ is the first spirit child conceived and begotten by Heavenly Father and one of Heavenly Father's many wives, commonly referred to, by the way, as Heavenly Mother. And just as Heavenly Father before him progressed to godhood, so Jesus progressed through obedience to the status of a God, and this is prior to his incarnation on earth. And in the words of Mormon apostle and general authority Bruce McConkie, Jesus Christ, through obedience and devotion, attained that pinnacle of intelligence which ranked him as a God. As such, according to the LDS authorities, Jesus is not to be worshipped or prayed to as one would worship or pray to Heavenly Father. Furthermore, let me say this. Mormons teach that Heavenly Father subsequently had other spirit children. We ourselves are thought to be spirit children of Father God and Mother God. And therefore, Mormons refer to Jesus as our elder brother. And as the official LDS Teacher's Manual Gospel Principles explains, we needed a Savior to pay for our sins and teach us how to return to our Heavenly Father. Our Father said, "Whom shall I send?" And by the way, this is Abraham 3:27, if you want a reference. Two of our brothers offered to help. Our oldest brother, Jesus Christ, who was then called Jehovah, said, "Here am I, send me." So it stands to reason that if Jesus is the first spirit child conceived and begotten by Heavenly Father, and if Heavenly Father and Mother subsequently conceived other spirit children, including Satan, then Jesus and Satan, logically, are spirit brothers. And while LDS spokespersons sometimes obfuscate this fundamental Mormon teaching, apostles of the Mormon Church and current official LDS publications clearly affirm it. For example, as explained by the Mormon publication Ensign, on first hearing, the doctrine that Lucifer and our Lord Jesus Christ are brothers may seem surprising to some, especially to those unacquainted with latter-day revelations. But both the scriptures and the prophets affirm that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are indeed offspring of our Heavenly Father and therefore spirit brothers. I'm not making this stuff up. This is coming from Mormon publications. And let me say this, finally. In sharp contrast to Mormon Christology, the biblical witness is clear and convincing. Jesus Christ is the eternal creator. Paul explicitly teaches that Jesus is the creator of all, including the angelic realm to which Satan belongs. Which is to say, Jesus and Satan are not spirit brothers. Jesus is the creator of all things, clearly depicted as such in beautiful prose in Colossians chapter 1. So is the Mormon Jesus different from the Christian Jesus? Yes, and the difference makes all the difference in the world. Is the God of Mormonism, who was once a man, the God of the Bible? Absolutely not. Is salvation as depicted by Mormonism the same as Christian salvation? No. Christians believe that they're going to stand before God dressed in the spotless robes of Christ's righteousness. Mormons believe that they're going to appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons, holding good works in their hands. And according to Latter-day Saints, virtually everyone qualifies for heaven. Here's how it works. Murderers, unrepentant whoremongers, and the world's vilest people make it into the celestial heaven. Lukewarm Mormons, religious people, and those who accept the Mormon gospel in the spirit world typically enter the terrestrial heaven. And temple Mormons make it to the celestial heaven. But only those who are sealed in secret temple rituals will make it to the third level of the celestial kingdom and become gods of their own planets. These and other doctrinal perversions exclude Mormonism from rightly being called Christian. And also, you can immediately recognize why it was that Joseph Smith, the founder, denounced all of Christianity. Because he had a different gospel to preach. The question now becomes, what is true? Is the Bible true, or is the Book of Mormon the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to a religion that's true? The answer is, anthropology and archaeology have absolutely discredited the Book of Mormon. Archaeology and anthropology absolutely verify the people, the places, and the particulars that you find in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is the Bible. You can't have it both ways. But I think it's important for Christians to know what they believe and why they believe what they believe, because otherwise you cannot reach either a Mormon or a Muslim or a garden variety pagan. You got to know the truth. And that is why we have prepared this resource to equip you, and we've made it memorable by using the acronym Mormon so you can understand the deviations and use them as springboards or opportunities to share the true Jesus, the true God of the Bible, the true gospel and plan of salvation as communicated by the infallible Word of God. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Mike. He's in Wichita, Kansas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I was listening to the gentleman from Topeka earlier, and I go to a non-denominational church, and I want to ask you, why do we put so much stress on religion? Religion is man-made. It's not God-following or Christ-following, correct?
Well, we don't put a stress on religion or religious systems. What we do put a stress on is a relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ. But there are organizations that have correctly communicated this and are set up so that people can worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word, so that they can have oneness as a body of believers, because when a person becomes a Christian, they're not a Lone Ranger Christian, but they're born into a body of believers. And also within a church, people can be equipped to go out and impact the world. So they're equipped and edified and exhorted and encouraged to be those that reach out to a lost and searching world, because there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who are of their father, the devil, or those who are of their heavenly father, the one who created the universe.
I understand that, but I just, the whole religion aspect, I had a college professor once that told a history class that all wars were fought around religion, and that's why I just have this feeling about...
Well, that's just absolutely preposterous statement. It's hard to imagine someone living in today's age making that kind of preposterous, ahistorical remark.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
atheism has accounted for more deaths in the 20th century, leading up to the 21st century, than any other system of belief. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Linda, listening in Cortez, Colorado. Hi, Linda.
Hello. I'm calling in regards to the man that had talked to you from Montana. I didn't catch his name, unfortunately. LDS man.
Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, I'm also LDS. You know, and you know, I listen to you every morning on the way to work at 4 o'clock in the morning and on the way home. And I can tell you right now, I'm so disappointed that you find a need to degrade the Mormon church when actually you're not finding the right sources. I don't know where you're searching, but you need to search actual church sources. if you're going to tell it really like it is.
Well, we are telling it exactly like it is, and I do give sources. I mean, when Jim asked me about the Mormon doctrine with respect to how Jesus was procreated, I gave him the source, Bruce McConkie.
Yes, you did. You gave that name only. You didn't say which book you got it
from. Mormon Doctrine. And Jim, as someone who is familiar as he communicated with the writings of Mormonism, would know very well Bruce McConkie. And in fact, I think if you listen to him, he acknowledged that he was familiar with this, as any Mormon probably would be. So Mormon Doctrine, you look at page, I think it's 547. If you look that up, you'll find this. And all I'm saying is you need to be fair to your own leaders and not misquote them and misinterpret them. It may be politically correct and expedient to do that, but it's not fair to your Mormon leaders to misrepresent the official teachings of the Mormon Church. We are, by contrast, correctly communicating what Mormons really believe and what they really teach. And we're not doing it to denigrate Mormonism, but rather so that Christians might be equipped to know what they believe, why they believe it, and to use the deviations of Mormon doctrine as an opportunity to reach Mormons, because that's what love is all about. You do what you do because truth matters. Indeed, it makes an eternal difference whether you believe Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, or you believe that Jesus is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, for only that Jesus has the power to atone for the sins of those who are not yet reconciled to God. Remember the resource, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flip Chart, available. Check it out on the World Wide Web. It's available for your gift to the ministry all this month. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right here back tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts, so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. Thank you for your prayers and support. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity.
You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.